Corporation of America presents The Magic Key. Magic Key turns, and the family of RCA join in presenting an hour of distinguished entertainment that will include Alexander Kirkland and Dean Dante in the balcony scene from Romeo and Juliet, Ernest Hutchison, celebrated concert pianist, Jean Serblanc, popular young French singer in a broadcast from Paris, Norman Corden, bass baritone and latest discovery of the Metropolitan Opera Company, John B. Kennedy, NBC commentator in a special broadcast from the Hayden Planetarium in New York City, and Frank Black conducting the NBC Symphony Orchestra. Mr. Black begins this afternoon's program with the Polonaise from the opera Evgenia Onyegin by Tchaikovsky. Several months ago, the Magic Key of RCA, in a broadcast from Paris, presented Jean Sablon, a young French singer whom Parisians were hailing as the next Chevalier. Singing the songs with which he had won his way to the hearts of his own countrymen, the young Frenchman quickened the pulses of American radio listeners, for his success on his first American broadcast was instantaneous.
At the request of the many listeners who have asked to have him appear on this program again, the magic key turns to Jean Sablon in Paris, France.
Happy to sing again for the magic key. And my first song is Darling, Je vous aime beaucoup. It is one French boy, like very, very much one charming American girl, but he can't speak English. He can't speak English as good as me. Je suis ici pas très long, mais s'il vous plaît, écoute ma song. Vous avez un grand appeal. To speak my heart, c'est difficile. Permettez-moi de vous expliquer. Dans my own peculiar way, exactly what mon cœur vous sait. Darling, je vous aime beaucoup. Je ne sais pas what to do. Vous avez completely stolen my heart. Matin, midi et le soir, always wondering how you are. That's the way I felt right from the start. Oh, chérie, my love for you is très, très fort. Wish my English were good enough. I tell you so much more. Tell me, do you love me too? Je suis happy if you do. Oh, my darling, je vous aime beaucoup. I love you. Darling, vous êtes très jolie, mais qu'est-ce que c'est vous do to me? Absolument, je suis inexpert. Tout le temps, j'espère que vous dream of me a little too. Oh, chérie, je pense, this is romance. Quand nous sommes alone and you are in my heart, je remercie le bon Dieu. Oh, you love me, child. Tell me, do you love me too, my baby dear? I'm very happy if you do. Darling, je vous aime beaucoup. I love you so. Give my conception of that popular song Alone in French. I hope you like it. Thank you.
Avec mes baisers qui te restent
si doux, elle a déjà bien un jour, et je reste toujours. T'as dit que tu viens me parler d'amour.
Back in Radio City, headquarters of the National Broadcasting Company, that member of the family of RCA whose facilities make possible the wide variety of international programs offered American listeners. No matter where the scene of immediate interest may be, in America or abroad, NBC, through its coast-to-coast networks, brings it to your home. This is one reason why the National Broadcasting Company, which is now celebrating its 10th anniversary, has always maintained its leadership in radio broadcasting.
Just a mile from Times Square, in the shadow of the tall apartment buildings that border New York Central Park, one can step out of the roar of traffic and enter the tranquil realm of the heavens. This is literally true, for there on the edge of Central Park is the great Hayden Planetarium, housing the machinery man has created to reenact the drama of the skies. In a huge room, the parade of the stars in their courses is thrown upon a man-made sky by means of a giant projector. This, together with the Hall of the Sun, housed in the same building, provides an attraction that has brought thousands of visitors from all parts of the world to the Hayden Planetarium. This afternoon, John B. Kennedy, noted NBC commentator, and Dr. Clyde Fisher, director of the planetarium, will discuss some of the fascinating details of this man-made recreation of the heavens. The magic key of RCA turns to John B. Kennedy in the Hayden Planetarium.
Good afternoon, all. Here we are seeing stars in broad daylight at the handsome Hayden Planetarium, in a sunroom that has no sun, save a large bulb in the exact center of the circular ceiling. Around the walls are paintings of the signs of the zodiac through which the sun and moon and planets move. Above, whirling around shining steel tracks, is the amazing mechanism of the universe, all in action, as in the everlasting firmament, but on a reduced scale so tiny that it's like stacking a microbe against an elephant. Is that right, Dr. Fisher? I'm referring, ladies and gentlemen, to one of the world's leading astronomers, Dr. Clyde Fisher, director of the planetarium.
Well, it isn't a very scientific simile, but it's picturesque enough to give the idea.
In this reproduction of the solar system, Dr. Fisher, which is the Earth?
That is the Earth, that little revolving ball there, the third planet from the shining sun.
Well, what are the other two between the sun and us on Earth?
The first one is Mercury, the fastest of the planets, which revolves around the sun in 88 of our days. The Earth is about 93 million miles from the sun, but Mercury is only 36 million miles distant.
Oh, I see. Just a suburb. And that rowdy, blood-colored planet. What's that, Dr. Fisher?
That's Mars, named after the god of war. And then there's Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. And the nearest star is so far away that on this scale it would be in Cleveland, Ohio.
What?
You know, all the stars are suns, and all the planets are worlds revolving around our sun.
Why?
Because the sun is the giant gravitational center of the system, and there's nothing to stop them.
Well, what do the planets do, Doctor, besides roll around?
In the case of the Earth, we know what it does. It sustains the lives of hundreds of millions of human beings.
Is there life on the other planets besides the Earth?
Not that we know. Mercury, for instance, nearest the sun, is much too hot, almost as hot as a steel furnace. and Jupiter and Saturn, much farther away from the sun, are much too cold. The North Pole would be considered a summer resort on Jupiter. There are indications of plant life on Mars, though through powerful telescopes, we can see markings which some have called canals of Mars, believing that there is some system of irrigation on that planet.
Well, if there's no life on these planets, Doctor, they seem to be wasted worlds. What do they do?
Maybe if there is life, they are asking the same question about us.
Why, there's a little visitor here, a friend of mine. She's Florence Barton, and Florence has a question to ask.
What is the globe so near the Earth, Dr. Fisher?
Why, that's the moon, my dear. All of the planets, save three, have moons that are called satellites or hangers-on.
And here's a boy visitor, Billy Jenkins. He's in an inquisitive mood.
Why, the moon travels around the Earth. How come?
Many have wondered about that, but there's no simple answer. Although it can be explained scientifically, something started the moon revolving around the Earth, and there has been nothing to stop it. We know of no resisting medium in space.
I've heard that someday they're going to try to ride to the moon in huge rockets.
Well, it has been calculated that stratosphere balloons at their highest have only reached the takeoff point of the 240,000-mile trip. Although it's said if power develops during the next 50 years, as much as during the past 50, we might develop an engine capable of taking man to the moon.
Yes, but how would he get back to Earth?
That's a question I can't answer, although I've often wondered about it.
And I've often wondered about the moon, too, Doctor. I've often wondered how the moon can be so pale when it sees so many things to make it blush.
Doubtless the ancients who founded the science of astronomy thousands of years ago, before the telescope was invented, wondered about that, too.
Tell me, Doctor, what is the practical service of astronomy today?
Why, we measure our time as the ancients did, through the passage of the stars.
Do stars really twinkle, Dr. Fisher?
Yes, they do. That's a trick of currents in the air. The stars moving through the currents of the air twinkle.
What are those other tiny bodies in the heavens there? They look like sky urchins.
That's what they are. We call them comets. A young American astronomer, Leslie Peltier, of Delphus, Ohio, discovered one of the most recent comets. It was named after him.
Just like Halley's Comet, the most famous of the comets.
Yes, and then there are smaller bodies, meteors.
Don't these meteors drop to Earth sometimes?
Yes, my dear, and then we call them meteorites, fragments of rock or metal. The largest we know of scooped out a tremendous pit nearly a mile wide when it smashed to the Earth in Arizona.
What would you do, Mr. Kennedy, if you saw a meteorite dropping?
Why, I'd do my best to duck. Tell me, Dr. Fisher, in this beautifully working reproduction of the universe, how do all these planets rotate around the sun?
Why, each has a separate motor of its own, and the entire system is timed like the finest watch.
Well, it's all marvelous, but quite beyond me. I can master the principle of the operation of a shoehorn or a pincushion, but not this.
Nobody has ever yet mastered this, but we do know that astronomy, knowledge of the stars and planets and their movements, is the foundation of navigation. Columbus knew that much when he discovered America, even if he didn't know where he was when he got here.
But isn't it funny how puny the little Earth seems with all its strife and clamor in this tremendous void of space around the sun?
Why, the sun itself is puny and boundless space. Charles Hayden, donor of this planetarium, put it very well when he said that watching even this scientific toy, this miniature of the crowded heavens, fills one with awe and a sense of some superior power behind it all.
Yes, indeed, Dr. Fisher. Is this star we read about that threatens to explode, is that a sort of public enemy number one of the firmament?
Oh, you mean the one in the lady in the chair, the star called Gamma Cassiopeia.
Oh, good heavens, I didn't know it sounded so much like an operatic tenor.
Well, it looks as if the third star in the lady in the chair may explode, and then it may become invisible. Whatever happens to it so far away, it cannot affect us.
Thank you very much, Dr. Fisher. This place is magnificent in its splendor and motion. But I think, with all due respect, that if I tried to tackle all the problems of your planetarium, I'd wind up in a sanitarium. The magic key of RCA returns you to Radio City.
On the morning of May 14th, 1936, music critics of the leading New York newspapers agreed unanimously that the Metropolitan Opera Company had made a genuine discovery in the rich bass baritone voice of Norman Corden. New York, however, was not the first city to discover Norman Corden. He had been acclaimed by the music critics and audiences of a dozen cities in the United States and Canada long before patrons of the Metropolitan heard him. Born in Washington, North Carolina, Norman Corden trained for opera in Nashville and Cincinnati. He came north after his training had been completed and appeared first with the San Carlo Opera Company in Chicago, Then he entered upon a series of opera engagements that eventually brought him to the Metropolitan in New York. On May 13th of this year, he made his debut singing the role of Montorone in Rigoletto. His success in that and in numerous other roles during the Met's spring series assured him that he had arrived, and his engagement for the coming season proved it. The magic key of RCA turns to Norman Corden, new bass baritone of the Metropolitan Opera Company. We hear the extraordinary warmth and flexibility of Norman Corden's voice, first in Madamina, Il Catalogo e Questo, the famous catalog song from Mozart's opera, Don Giovanni.
Madamina, il catalogo è questo, delle belle chiamo il padron mio, un catalogo lieto e fatio, osservate, leggete con me, osservate, leggete con me. In Italia 640, in Almania 231, 100 in Francia, in Turchia 91, ma in Spagna, ma in Spagna son già 1003, 1003, 1003. Van fra queste contadine, camariere e cittadine, van contesse e baronesse, marchesane, principesse e bambone, d'ogni grado, d'ogni forma, d'ogni età, d'ogni forma, d'ogni età. In Italia, 640, in Almagna, 231, canto in Francia, in Turchia, novantuna, ma in Spagna, ma in Spagna son già 1003, 1003. 1003. Van tra queste contadine, camerieri, cittadine, valutesse, baronesse, marchesane, principesse, bandone d'ogni grado, d'ogni forma, d'ogni età, ogni forma, ogni età, ogni forma, ogni età. Oh! dolci piante. Monti ricca, sestia ricca, sestia brutta, sestia bella, sestia ricca, brutta, sestia bella.
Norman Corden's interest in folk songs and his flair for the simple, homely songs date back to his boyhood in North Carolina. This attachment to the familiar songs of the home is reflected in his singing of Drink to Me Only with Thine Eyes. In the laboratories of the Radio Corporation of America, scientists are working out the future of radio. Each year, they have speeded up the progress of the radio art, in effect, making the future serve you today. One member of the family of RCA, RCA Victor, in creating the new RCA Victor Magic Voice radios, reached into the future for improvements which have made possible that perfect reproduction of tone which seems to bring performers actually into your living room. RCA Victor phonographs and Victor higher fidelity records are also a result of far-sighted efforts in the laboratory. In the same way, the National Broadcasting Company, the broadcasting member of the family of RCA, makes use of the newest broadcasting equipment developed through RCA research and constantly creates new programs for your greater radio enjoyment. RCA Communications, with its direct and instantaneous contact among 47 foreign countries and the principal cities of the United States, furnishes another example of RCA pioneering, which has advanced the frontiers of radio. For every service in radio, use RCA. Magic Key, unlocking a world of entertainment presented for your interest and pleasure by members of the family of RCA, who individually and collectively offer you every service in radio. America has a faculty for absorbing foreign artists with such thoroughness that they quickly become an inherent part of our cultural life. It is so in the case of the celebrated pianist Ernest Hutcherson, who began playing at public concerts in his native Australia when he was but 5 years old, and as an infant prodigy was sent to Germany to continue his study of the piano. There, under such masters as Reinecke, Zwinscher, and Stavenhagen, young Hutcherson proved he possessed great talent. His student days over, he toured the world, giving concerts in Australia, England, Germany, Russia, and the United States. Everywhere, he was quickly recognized as a great pianist. In New York, where he has lived for many years, he is recognized not only as a fine artist, but as a noted teacher. As dean of the Juilliard School of Music in New York, Mr. Hutcherson has come to hold a position of extraordinary influence in the musical life of this country. The magic key of RCA turns to Ernest Hutcherson. In the finale of Mendelssohn's Concerto in G minor, which Mr. Hutcherson will play this afternoon, we hear interpreted all the passion and grandeur which the composer bestowed upon it. Mr. Hutcherson. Thank you.
For an encore, Mr. Hutchison has chosen another composition by Mendelssohn, his delightful spinning song.
Time has shown that the great English bard, Shakespeare, scored brilliantly as a dramatist, but failed in estimating the emotional capacity of young actresses. For when Shakespeare wrote Romeo and Juliet, he conceived his Juliet as a 14-year-old girl. Yet the lines he wrote have always called for the complete efforts of our more mature actresses. This afternoon, by way of experimental theater, the role of Juliet will be played by a 13-year-old actress, Jean Dante, whose superlative performance in last season's Theatre Guild play, Call It a Day, won her praise from New York's drama critics. Playing opposite Miss Dante in the part of Romeo will be one of the legitimate theatre's most brilliant young stars, Alexander Kirkland, whose performance in Wings Over Europe, Waiting for Lefty, and Men in White brought him to the front rank among American actors. The magic key of RCA turns to Alexander Kirkland and Jean Dante in the balcony scene from Romeo and Juliet. Night in Capulet's orchard, beneath Juliet's window, Romeo conceals himself in the shadows, while his companions, Mercutio and Benvolio, seek for him in vain.
Romeo! My cousin Romeo!
He's wise, Benvolio, and on my life, I've stolen him home to bed.
He ran this way and leaped this orchard wall. All good, Mercutio.
Romeo! Humor! Madman! Passion! Lover! Appear now in the likeness of a sigh.
Come, he hath hid himself among these trees.
Romeo, good night. Come, shall we go?
Come, then. It is vain to seek him here that means not to be found.
He jests at scars that never felt a wound. But what light through yonder window breaks? It is the east, and Juliet is the sun. Arise, fair sun, and kill the envious moon, who is already sick and pale with grief, that thou, her maid, art far more fair than she. She speaks. Oh, yet she says nothing. It is my lady. Oh, it is my love. all that she knew she were. See how she leans her cheek upon her hand. Oh, that I were a glove upon that hand, that I might touch that cheek.
By me.
She speaks. Oh, speak again, bright angel, for thou art as glorious to this night being o'er my head as this winged messenger of heaven.
Oh, Romeo. Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo? Deny thy father and refuse thy name. Or, if thou wilt not, be but sworn, my love, and I'll no longer be a Capulet.
Shall I hear more, or shall I speak at this?
Tis but thy name that is my enemy. What in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. So Romeo would, were he not Romeo called, attain that dear perfection which he owes without that title. Romeo, doff thy name, and for thy name which is no part of thee, take all myself.
I take thee at thy word. Call me but love, and I'll be new baptized. Henceforth I never will be Romeo.
Man art thou that dost discreet and night for stumbles on my counsel.
Oh, by a name, I know not how to tell thee who I am. My name, dear saint, is hateful to myself, because it is an enemy to thee.
My ears have not yet drunk 100 words of thy tongue, Lottie, yet I know the sound. Art thou not Romeo and Montague?
Neither, dear maid, if either thee dislike.
How camest thou hither? Tell me, and wherefore? The orchard walls are high and hard to climb, and the place death. Considering who thou art, if any of my kinsmen find thee here.
With love's light wings did I o'erperch these walls, for stony limits cannot hold love out. And what love can do, that dares love attempt. Therefore thy kinsmen are no let to me.
If they do see thee, they will murder thee.
Alack, there lies more peril in thine eye than 20 of their swords.
Why would not for the world they saw thee here?
I have knight's cloak to hide me from their eyes.
By whose direction found thou out this place?
By love, that first did prompt me to inquire. I am no pilot, yet wert thou as far as that vast shore washed by the farthest sea, I would adventure for such merchandise.
Thou knowest the mask of night is on my face, else would a maiden blush to taste my cheek, for that's what thou hast heard me speak tonight. Fain would I dwell in form, fain deny what I spoke. Dost thou love me?
Oh,
gentle Romeo, if thou dost love, pronounce it safely. If thou think I am too quickly won, I'll frown and be perverse and say thee nay. I should have been more strange, I must confess, but that thou overheard, ere I was where my true love's passion. Therefore, pardon me, and not impute this yielding to light love, which the dark night hath so discovered.
Lady, by yonder blessed moon, I swear, that tips with silver all the fruit tree tops.
Oh, swear not by the moon. The inconstant moon that monthly changes in its circle orb, lest that thy love prove likewise variable.
What shall I swear by?
Oh, do not swear at all. Or, if thou wilt, swear by thy gracious self, which is the god of my idolatry, and I'll believe thee.
If my heart, dear love.
Well, do not swear. Although I joy in thee, I have no joy of this compact tonight. It is too rash, too unadvised, too sudden. Like the lightning which doth sink to the air, one can say it lightly. Sweet, good night.
Oh.
This bud of love by summer's ripening breath may prove a beauteous flower when next we meet. Good night, good night. As sweet repose and rest come to thy heart as that within my breast.
Oh, wilt thou leave me so unsatisfied?
What satisfaction canst thou have tonight?
The exchange of thy love's faithful vow for mine.
I gave thee mine before thou didst request it. And yet, I would it were to give again.
Wouldst thou withdraw it? For what purpose, love?
Oh, but to be frank and give it thee again. I hear some noise within. Dear love, adieu. Non, good nurse. Sweet Montague, be true. Stay but a little. I will come again.
Oh, blessed. Blessed night. I'm afeard being in night. All this is but a dream, too flattering, sweet to be substantial.
Three words, dear Romeo. And good night indeed. If that thy bent of love be honorable, thy purpose marriage, send me word tomorrow by one that I'll procure to come to thee, where and what time thou wilt perform the rite,
and all my fortunes at thy foot I'll lay, and follow thee, my lord, throughout the world.
Madam!
I come anon. If thou mean'st not well, I do beseech thee.
Madam!
By and by I come to cease thy suit and lead me to thy grief. Tomorrow will I say no.
So thrive my soul.
A thousand times good night.
A thousand times the worst to want thy life. Love goes toward love as schoolboys from their books. But love from love toward school with heavy looks.
Romeo! Oh, for Falconer's voice to lure this tassel gentle back. Romeo!
It is my soul that calls upon my name. How silver sweet sound lover's tongue by night, like softest music to attending ears.
Romeo!
My dear!
What o'clock tomorrow shall I send to thee?
By the hour of nine.
I will not say. 'Tis 20 years till then. I have forgot why I did call thee back.
Let me stand here till thou rememberest.
I shall forget to have thee still stand there, remembering how I loved thy company.
And I'll still stay to have thee still forget, forgetting any other home but this.
It's almost morning. Oh, I would have thee gone. And yet, no farther than a wanton bird that gets it hot a little from her hand, with a silken thread, tucks it back again, so loving jealous of his liberty.
I would I were thy bird.
Sweet, so would I. Yet I would kill thee with much cherishing. Good night. Good night. Parting with such sweet sorrow that I shall say good night till it's tomorrow.
Sleep dwell upon thine eyes. Peace in thy breast. Would I were sleep and peace, so sweet to rest.
The NBC Symphony Orchestra, directed by Frank Black, plays the vibrant and colorful Sierra Morena from the sweet Fête de Seville of Tavannes.
It is said, they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. Well, we sowed the airwaves with our exciting RCA Victor Magic Boys radio contest announcement, and we're reaping a tornado of entries. In 2 weeks, 20,420 valuable prizes have been offered to winners. Think of that. More than 20,000 prizes so far, including many Magic Boys radio sets and other RCA Victor instruments. And this week, 10,210 more prizes are waiting for you. 10,210 great prizes worth $14,000. And they're easy to win. There's no entry fee. Prizes are absolutely free to contestants who submit the best statements, or 25 words or less, telling us why I like the new 1937 RCA Victor Magic Voice Radio. Why, it's as simple as ABC. Just visit your RCA Victor dealer. Ask for a free demonstration of the new 1937 RCA Victor Magic Voice Radio and ask for a free official entry blank. Then write, just as you would tell a friend, why you like the 1937 RCA Victor Magic Voice Radio. We want your own personal answer, written in your own way. You will not be judged on literary style or fancy writing. There's nothing to buy, no box top, and no postage required. No obligation on your part at all. This contest is open only to residents of the United States. Remember, prizes include many 1937 RCA Victor Magic Voice radios. So come on, we want you among the winners. Just make sure that your entry for this, the third week's RCA Victor Magic Voice radio contest, reaches the judges no later than noon next Saturday, October 24th. Here are the winners of the major prizes for last week. All other prize winners will be notified by mail. Cordially invite you to be with us next Sunday afternoon on the Blue Network when the magic key will turn again and members of the family of RCA will present Robert Benchley, one of America's foremost humorists and star of the classic short film How to Sleep. Herbert Ernst Groh, celebrated tenor in a broadcast from Berlin. Scenes from New York's newest musical success, White Horse Inn. Saul Goodman, timpanist for the New York Philharmonic Symphony. John B. Kennedy, NBC News commentator, and Frank Black conducting the NBC Symphony Orchestra. Ben Grauer and Milton Cross speaking for one member of the family of RCA, the National Broadcasting Company.